Yes, sir. This is the real show. TD and double D's.
TD in the building.
Yes, sir.
What's going on, man?
Oh, man, ain't nothing, man. I can't call it. I don't want to mess around and spoil it.
Yeah.
But we here, man. I was just reminiscing about, like, okay, because, okay, for those who don't know, you know what I'm saying, we're DJs.
Right.
Local DJs in the area. TD's out of the south side of Chicago. I'm raised in South Jamaica, Queens, DJing, and we was going over our experiences, and we was talking about our first time doing a party.
How old was you the first time you did a party?
Honestly, I was like, I want to say I was like 20.
20?
When I did my first real party, I was like 20 years old because I did it with my partner, but who I grew up with, my partner Talib. Shout out to my man Talib. And Talib had yeah, you know, he had a pretty good job at the time, and he went out and bought some turntables,
mm-hmm,
and a speaker. But his thing was he was a house head.
Right.
He was just his whole thing was house music. So he would go to this spot in New York called Dance Tracks. Dance Tracks was the premier record store where you got all the latest new house tracks.
Right.
Now, of course, me, I was the hip-hop head. I knew all the hip-hop. I was listening to Mr. Magic at the time. You know, it was Mr. Magic, Awesome 2, Stretch and Bobbito,
right,
Red Alert. Those were all... That's where you had all the new hip-hop in New York during the 80s and the 90s. So I knew all the hip-hop, and I would tell him what to get so far as what records. Like, yo, make sure you got this, make sure you got that. So...
He was spending house, you were spending hip hop.
Right.
How long was you spending hip hop before you even hooked up with him? How did that happen that y'all?
I wasn't spending hip hop. I was trying to be a rapper. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
Like, I was just helping him out.
Okay.
Because his whole thing was, you know, his whole thing was the parties he was doing, you know, he used to be a ladies' man. He used to have, he used to have a whole bunch of girls. So he's trying to entertain the females. He's like, yo, D, man, you got to help me out with this party, man, because, you know what I'm saying, I could DJ, but I got my honeys, you know what I'm saying, I don't have my honeys on standby, I need you to hold a party down for me.
Okay.
So that's how I got my starting to DJ, but I was really trying to be a rapper. I wasn't, like, my whole thing was, like, yo, I like rapping, I want to be a rapper, and I went to school for it, and I went to school, because my mama was on me, was like, boy, you can't just be no rapper, you got to have something solid to fall back on. So... my thing was like, okay,
So dude was doing beats, so even though he was doing house music, you kind of conformed him into doing some rap beats for you, or what?
No. Okay. He's just a DJ. That's okay. All he is.
So he just conformed you into spinning out.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, yeah, like I was helping him out.
So how long was you DJing with him before you actually did your first party, or do you consider your first party with him as your first party?
Well, that's like my first official party, but my first party was in Atlanta at a club.
But first of all, hold on. We're going to get back to the first party.
Right.
First time you stepped out, and this was party time, and the lights was on.
Right.
Where was it at? Where was the party?
One of his girlfriends was having a backyard barbecue. And, you know, we was providing the music for it. So, again, he knew all the house stuff, so he's played all the house stuff. But, of course, everybody, you know, New York is one of those places where we listen to everything. We listen to R&B, house, hip-hop, all that.
Sure.
So people were like, man, come on, man, you got such and such and such and such, such. You got such and such R&B. So he's like, come on, D, goddamn.
Yeah, the game was dirty back then.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm like, okay.
Laptops. If you didn't have the motherfucker, they go.
Right. You had to have the, we had to have the records.
Oh, yeah,
and we had to have the latest records on deck that people wanted to hear.
Oh, yeah.
Because they doing the same questions, like always. Like, oh, you got this, put this on. You got some LL Cool J, you got some Run DMC, you got some, you got some MC Shan, you got some KRS-One. This is what they was asking for back then. So it was like we had to have, you know what I'm saying, all the hot, you know what I'm saying, whatever. So boom. So I'm just playing this stuff. I'm not even like doing the scratching tricks. I can't do none of that. Right.
Okay.
I'm just putting on the jam what people want to hear. And they're like, ah, man, that's the joint. That. I let it play out to the end and I throw on the next joint.
Right.
It was just basically jukeboxing for real. But it was full-fledged DJ because you was behind the turntable. You had to cue it up. Boom. Put on the next joint. And the flow of the party was like, hey, okay. Like, you put on the one joint, people's like, hey.
Right.
And you had to make sure the next record you put on fit the flow of the party.
Yes.
So that was the challenge for me. So all I was doing was playing the heavy hitters that everybody wanted to hear. I'm
right.
Just elementary. So.
Yeah. That's how it went back
and then. Yeah, and that's how it went, man.
What year was that?
Oh, that was like, man, this we talking about 89, 90?
89. Okay. Since we just gonna go to the first time I performed on the turntable, not even getting paid.
Right. I ain't nobody get paid back in the day. Let's get that established.
How long we been rolling?
We
past 10?
No, not yet.
All right. First time I'm performing. I'm in seventh grade. St. Peter Paul. For life, seventh grade, and this time I'm 11.
Right.
I'm just turning 11. But before, no, I'm sorry. This is what led up to.
Okay.
I'm playing basketball in grade school. I'm in seventh grade.
Right.
And the recruiters come from Lindell Catholic High School.
Right.
We went to private school, so the private high schools came to recruit us, playing on the basketball team. They talked to all the boys, y'all come on out to Middleton, check it out. We're going to give y'all a little tour of the school. Y'all can see what we do, how we get out. And we went, had a tour of the school. After the tour was over, they gave us some passes to the park.
Right.
CUM Middle was, at that time, one of the most prestigious black all-boys schools. On the south side. And they used to throw weekly parties.
Okay.
Fridays and Saturdays. Citywide. If you were
right.
High school, show your ID, come. And those parties was the shit.
Right.
If you was in high school, those was the party.
Right.
But they gave us these tickets and we were still in grade school.
Right.
So I go to the park. I go to the park.
Right.
Gym. Mendel was a big ass gym. The party was in the gym.
Right.
We walked in the gym. Folks partying all up in the rafters,
right.
All in the floors,
right.
DJs on the stage,
right.
Niggas going down.
Right.
I go downstairs. At this time, there was a DJ named Farley Key. Anybody ever heard of Farley Key? Farley Key. I'm in seventh grade, and I'm in the basement. Farley scratching and cutting. They used to always say, Farley went to New York and learned some shit and came back to Chicago on the cut side.
Right.
And Farley on the cut side was a monster.
Okay.
So Farley killing the crowd.
Right.
Killing them. I'm in seventh grade. I'm at the high school party. I'm overwhelmed. And I'm watching the center of the party. It was Farley. They doing their thing.
Right.
High school girls, I'm watching this. But they like, Farley, do it, do it. Chicago was giving it to him. Farley,
right.
Screaming his name, nigga. Do that shit.
Right.
So I went home after the party. My old man was like, so... What's up, man? I was a party. I'm like, Daddy, I want to be a DJ. He said, you know, your Uncle Wolf a DJ. I used to didn't like Uncle Wolf because he was
right.
The one that used to cut our hair when we fucked up. When everybody's trying to get afro,
nah.
The old man would pull some shit like, oh, yeah, we cutting all that shit off.
Damn.
And he take us to Uncle Wolf
right.
On the west side.
Okay.
And they drinking and shit, talking shit, and fucking
right.
Us up.
Right.
But... Wolf was a DJ.
Right.
Wolf had a setup back then.
Okay.
So he said, yeah, I'm gonna tell your Uncle Wolf this shit you want to play.
Okay.
So now I never wanted to see Uncle Wolf. But now, now I do.
Right.
Before I didn't. So now we get over there. He showed me. He had the two matching turntables and mixing. He played in the little lounges and shit. He
right.
Was a DJ.
Right.
Back in fucking 80.
Okay.
He had been doing his thing.
Right.
So he told me the concept.
Right.
Said, man, you know, it ain't up with the two turn. I'm looking at what he got. I'm like, Daddy, we got two turntables. He's
right.
Like, yeah, they different, but yeah.
Right.
Because my sister had one that he bought for her, and he had one in his room.
Right.
So he like, yeah. He said, but you're going to need a mixer.
Right.
Back then, Wolf said, no, here's what you do. Mm-hmm. Since you got these two sets that have 2 outs to one speaker, 1 out go to one speaker, 1 out go to the other speaker, right? He said, you mismatch those speakers. And you turn one down and turn one up. And at all times, something's going to be playing.
Right.
Both sides. No mixer.
Right.
Nigga, I'm not. My first performance, I'm like a rain.
Right.
And back then, you had the records stacked up and shit like that. You know, where you would line them up and they would stay.
Right.
But what he just told me, the basic concept, was that was it.
Okay.
So now, I'm seeing what Farley did and all this and stuff like that, but really not seeing and knowing.
Right.
So, my birthday comes in February. Mm-hmm. I done already stole my sister's stereo, took it downstairs, always begged my old man. He like, yeah, we'll put it back by the time I get home, shit like that.
Right.
Or we'll do all this bullshit, but I'm ready. Mm-hmm. 7th grade. I told my sister, my mother then was like, what you want for your birthday? Mm-hmm. So I'm having a party. I want some skates. Mm-hmm. And a pair of skates. And I need that Michael Jackson.
Right.
I need that off the wall.
Okay, off the wall album.
First album I ever had.
Okay.
Michael Jack.
Off the wall.
Back that was the heater. In 80.
Oh, yeah. No stocks, he get enough.
Nigga.
Off the wall.
Nigga, stop playing.
Work that's day and night.
You played the whole album.
You played the whole album. Girlfriend.
I had.
Get on the floor, dance with me. Oh, man.
Wolf taught me. He said, if you can get a hold of 2 records,
right,
that's what he told.
Right.
You can play it longer. He said, all you gotta do is just once it start going, that's when he showed me the basic raw blend.
Right.
Play it once it gets like almost to the end, he said, just do like that.
Right.
And bring that with you.
Right. What a way to start. What a way to learn how to DJ. No mixer. You just turn it one speaker down, turn it one
speaker. No headphones.
No headphones.
No headphones.
Wow.
So now, nigga, when the party came and they saw the 2 turntables set up there.
Right.
And saw me with motherfucking crates.
Right. Records.
There.
Right.
Because up until then, all of our parties that people had,
right,
it was somebody else.
Okay.
Somebody older brother. Or somebody who was somebody, a DJ who was doing their thing.
Right.
But it was never our age.
Right.
Not one time.
Right.
Was they our age.
Right.
Aranita, LaTanya, Eric Silvestri, Celeste, Nicole. Who else was at that joint? Richard Thornton, okay. Probably David Coles.
Are you naming all your classmates and stuff?
That came out to that first joint. LaTanya Stenhouse know what I'm talking about.
Okay.
Know what I'm talking about when they hit it.
Okay.
That was my first joint. Aranita know more.
Right.
Aranita knew. Aranita was into music. She ended up marrying a DJ. But Aranita knew music. She probably taught him how to play.
Right.
That's how much she knew music.
Wow.
Since we were kids.
Right.
She was always on the female side of the music spectrum to my male side.
Okay.
That was it. Her people, they put her down on music. We wow. Were that was my first performance. And I killed it. They came and saw me
control. No mixing, no headphones.
They came and saw me controlling the music.
Right. No mixing, no headphones, just turn down one speaker and people didn't even notice like wait a minute. It's only one. It was loud enough to where people just jammed.
Not back then.
Right.
Because you mixed it. There you go. You can always keep it rolling. You can cut it when you want.
Right.
But I understand, you stop it.
No.
Oh, I thought you did. But yeah. The concept of it is it's logical.
Right.
It's always music coming out of
it. Right.
Since we was in 7th grade, that's all you had was them 2 joints. Unless somebody, now, you had the parties where Some motherfuckers' mamas play.
Right.
They didn't have a bread like that. They
right.
The cassettes that they recorded off the radio, they might have had an album.
Right.
And they play.
Like, my thing was making pause. Now, I want to add this. Like, I was making pause tapes. The pause tapes the pause tape was all the hot stuff that came off the radio. You had that. And because this is back in the days of cassettes.
Yeah.
Everybody had their cassettes. Yeah. This was before CDs.
Uh-huh.
One of those CDs, it was just cassette. You was either playing records, cassette, or the 8-track. And the 8-track tape was starting to phase out in the 80s. Now, the cassettes, you could record right off the radio, and you recorded the hot song, and all of us in the neighborhood, we used to, like everybody had a pause tape, but then it was a thing of who had the best pause tape,
mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, but did you hear this? Bam! And it's like, oh, man, but did you hear this? Bam! But mainly, the main radio show at the time was Mr. Magic's Rap Attack.
Okay.
I
remember.
And this is New York, and Red Alert. And then, like I said, they had the college stations. The college stations was the Awesome Two, and Stretch and Bobbito.
Do you remember?
And
do you remember Chuck D station?
Chuck D, Chuck, chill out. He's another one.
No, Chuck D.
Oh, Chuck D station. Yeah, Chuck D had one, but Chuck D was local. His was out in Long Island. But Chuck Chillout also was also another DJ in New York that had his, yeah.
See, the mob New York came from my godfather.
Right.
Who lived out there. And going out there and visit him.
Right.
Nigga, I was coming back to Chicago with that hip hop.
Right.
I was able to, man, this was back with fucking, see, but I'm behind you on that.
Right.
Talking Chuck Chillout and all of that.
Right.
But I can remember when Rakim and Ice Cube and them was doing St. Ives commercials and shit.
That was more or less in the 90s. That was 90s. I'm talking 80s, yeah.
91, yeah.
Right, because that was like the first time rappers was ever even getting endorsement to do commercials and all that. But go ahead.
Yeah. But that was like my first real introduction to New York, because I was actually at that time trying to get into the music.
Right.
With Greg and Lowe's.
Okay. With your partners, Greg.
He was
okay.
The black child. That nigga right. Just left up out of here.
Right.
And Lowe's.
Right.
And that was when I got out of service. I got out in 90.
Okay.
So my first, I just say that to say this. I'm going to cut you off. I used to get stuff when I did come and visit to Chicago on the rap side that they just didn't have yet.
Right.
And I used to kill them with that shit.
Wow.
It might only be because we're not that far behind.
Right.
But at the same time, you got to understand that their shit that New York and Jersey played, some of it was hot and good, but for some odd reason never made it out of New York and Jersey.
That's right. Absolutely. Because I can play you some stuff right now. It's like, what the hell is that?
I remember the motherfucking outside.
Right. Like, there's some hip-hop from the 80s that people, because everybody is on 90s. 90s was the Renaissance era. But if we go back to, like, when it was Grandmaster Flash, Funky Four Plus One More, The Treacherous Three and all of that, Houdini, the Run DMCs and all of that, there's a lot of hip-hop that people just, because that was like the first fruits, and people are just totally unfamiliar with that. Like, if New York DJs, if they play a set of 80s hip hop, okay, everybody gonna be looking like, oh, you know what I'm saying? We'll know it because, right, you know, we were kids, we were teenagers in that era. But all these people that claim they hip hop heads and this and this and this and this, we throwing something right now and you'd be like, huh, what's that? Uh-huh. All right, it's reminiscing. First gigs, it's the TD and Double D show.